Why is it continuing to fall forward?
Okay, hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you surviving? So we're starting off a teaching on another look at tongues and interpretation. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We had this study this year, right? Tongues and interpretation. Have we had any study like that? Tongues and interpretation? We didn't have any study on this? Okay, yeah, we had pneumatic, but we had pneumatic of one last year.
Okay, right. I said some things along this line last year.
Yeah, so. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So, another look at tongues and interpretation. Just as we get prepared for the series of meetings we are having for in the coming days. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's say this was after now, Father. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We'll receive your word.
The word.
This afternoon. With clarity. In our hearts and in our minds. As the word comes. There's no error in this atmosphere.
No error in this atmosphere.
Clarity comes to us.
Much more.
On the subject of tongues and interpretation. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen. So Matthew 28. Matthew 28, 1 verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them.
What about February 29?
Okay. All authority, that's the word power, is given in heaven and on earth. It says, Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. They teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it says, go therefore and teach all nations. Now that word teach there is the word in the Greek we call matitio. Right? That's the word matitio, make disciples. Hallelujah. So that word is from the word matitis, which is used for an apprentice. Hallelujah. An apprentice. So when you use the word matitio, it is used for how you enroll one in a school to becoming a scholar. Are you following me? How you enroll one in a school to becoming a scholar. It says, make disciples. 19 says, that's 19. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Who were here yesterday, B. Hallelujah. Were here yesterday, B. We said, when you get here, Mark will focus, when we get to Mark 16, Mark will be more elaborate on it, where you're baptizing them in the name of the Father. So Mark brings in the fact that baptizing, Mark 16:15, says, go ye therefore and preach the gospel. Mark 16:15. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. It says, to every creature, it says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So Mark brings in the fact that the gospel will be preached for one to believe to get saved. I follow you. So Mark brings in that entry point into discipleship. He says, the gospel has got to be preached. Hallelujah. The gospel has got to be preached. What Luke will call the gospel. Luke will call it forgiveness. What will we put it? Forgiveness and repentance, right? Hallelujah. Repentance, that is forgiveness of sins. So he says that, so the entry point to discipleship is when a man believes the gospel preached. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when a man believes, he's saved. So back to Matthew 28. Look at verse 20. It says, he teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So that will be the focus in discipleship, teaching. I follow you. There's an entry where one believes to be saved. And there is the focus in discipleship. And what is the focus? The focus is teaching them. Hallelujah. So teaching becomes primary in a believer's gathering. Hope you follow me. Teaching becomes primary in a believer's gathering. That is how disciples are raised. Hallelujah. So there's an entry,
believing,
and there is how disciples are raised. So use the word teaching. Teaching is the word didasko. Didasko in the Greek. It implies the act of explaining. That word didasko implies the act of explaining.
I just saw something I forgot to do on my notes. It
has, so it has to do with the act of explaining. So it's a verb. Hallelujah. It's a verb. It's an action word. So it has to do with that act of explaining. Like I'm doing now, it's called didasko. Around this word teaching, you have other words like didaskalia. That is the explanation itself. Didaskalia. Explanation itself. You find that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15. Verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That is the word didaskalia, for explanation. The explanation itself. I follow you. Hallelujah. It's a word that means learning, useful learning. You get to Romans, it says, the things that are written are for, we're written for our learning. That we through the patience and comfort of scripture. Hallelujah. So there's learning. I hope you're following me. Learning. It's a word learning. Didaskalia. We have another word, dida. It's a word didaskalos. Didaskalos. When you have a didaskalia, you have a didaskalos. A didaskalos is a teacher, the one who explains, who does the act of the didaskalia, the act of explaining. Do you understand me? The didaskalos is the teacher, the one who teaches. So that means in discipleship, we have what? The didasko, which is how the act of explaining. We have the didaskalia, right? Right? Which is what? The explanation itself. Hallelujah. You have the didaskalos, the one who explains. Hallelujah. The one who explains. Well, another word called didaktikos. Didaktikos. You find that in 1 Timothy 3, for a bishop, it says a bishop must be apt to teach. That's the word apt to teach. Apt to teach. That's the word skillful. Skillful. So we have skillfulness in explaining. There's a skillfulness in explaining scriptures. We're getting there. Hallelujah. So he said a pastor, 1 Timothy 3, he said, a pastor must not be a novice. Are you following me? A pastor must not be a novice. No. Must it be a novice in the things of scriptures? Hallelujah. Must it be a novice in scriptures? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I cannot come and be teaching you what I don't know. I cannot teach you. I'm not. You understand? A pastor must not be a novice. Mustn't be a novice. I follow you. Pastor must not be a novice. Another one you have is the word didache. A bit we're going to spend time here. Didache. Didache has to do with the mode of explanation. Hallelujah. How what is taught is taught. Didache. The mode of explanation. The explanation in itself. How is it done? Hallelujah. In Acts 2:42, the new converts we have, the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That word doctrine there is the word didache. Meaning there is that there's a way, there's a mode of explanation from the apostles that they have to follow. Hallelujah. They have to stay with how the apostles explain scriptures. You have to learn it. See, as a believer, one of the things you learn is how to explain scriptures. Are you ready? As a believer, one of the things you learn is how to explain scriptures. Hallelujah. That's why we take the pain. Or I take the pain of teaching you, I do. Hallelujah. Because that's one of the things you learn. How is scriptures explained? Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Amen. For some of you, you used to entertain anyhow questions from people. But now you discover that when they ask you any question, if you tell the person, you know what? Let's look at it again. What you ordinarily would have just answered straight up. Now you tell us, no, let me teach you. You don't follow a sequence how you wake up. Say, glory to God. Some of us will start from Matthew 28. Because that is how you are following a sequence. That is how you are taught. Hallelujah. That is how you are taught. Glory to God. You're no longer in the rush to answer anyhow questions. So, are you following me? You are no longer in the rush. Somebody asks you, did Adam eat apple or fruit? Or did I said, yeah. Is actually what Adam ate. Is not actually eating. You are just giving an answer. You know, these days you won't be able to do that again. You have to go through the teaching, right? But you know what? Calm down. Let's start from Matthew 23. You know what? Get this message. Listen. Hallelujah. Because that is the mode of explaining things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The apostles in writing their epistles, they didn't just jump. No. They moved. Hallelujah. There's how scripture should be explained. Hallelujah. And the apostles will follow Jesus' mode of explaining scriptures. They will follow Jesus' pattern of explaining scriptures. In Mark 1:22. Look at Mark. Chapter 1, verse 22. Look at Jesus. On Sabbath, verse 21. And they went to Capernaum, and swept away on Sabbath day. He entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his didache. That's the word doctrine. So they were astonished at how we explain scriptures. Did you see that? They were astonished at how we explain scriptures. How? How did he explain? Look at what? Verse 2. He said, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Did you see that? We find out also in Mark 2:7-28, he taught as one having authority. When you use that word as one having authority, it implies he taught as one whose scriptures concludes on. The way he speaks, he explains scriptures as though, or he explains scriptures as the one that scriptures speak concerning. Do you understand this? That scriptures conclude on him. We'll get to see that shortly. Hallelujah. So they were astonished. That word astonished is the word to be surprised. Why were they surprised? The question you ask. Why were they surprised? Why were they dazed? They were surprised because what they had all along has been the what? The Pharisees and the what? And the Sadducees. Hallelujah. So they were used to a particular pattern of explaining things. Hallelujah. But you know, if they had followed the way the prophets were explaining scriptures, they wouldn't be surprised. I will follow you. But because they were listening to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Bible says they were surprised. So that was what they had dominantly in their days. Glory to God. And here comes Jesus. He's giving a didache. And they were surprised. How would he talk like this? Hallelujah. Glory to God. They were surprised. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God.
You know when I heard this on Pharisees, they say when falsehood takes over the front seat, it says even the truth becomes a what? Eh? The truth will be like it was rebellion. Hallelujah. Truth will sound like rebellion. Why? Because falsehood has taken the front chair. Glory to God. They were astonished at this teaching. Look at Matthew 16, verse 6. Matthew 16, 6. And Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the living of the Pharisees. He told them, beware of the living of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves. Is it because we didn't take bread? No. Remember yesterday we got to the word living, right? Right? So, what did we say is living? We use the word leaven is used for what is corruptible. Hallelujah. What is corruptible? Amen. We saw Paul's admonition to the church at Corinth. He said, don't you know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Did you see that? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Meaning if you allow that which is not good to stay, everybody, before you know it, becomes a norm. That is a little living, that which is corruptible. So he calls the doctrine of the Pharisees, he calls it living. Look at verse 12. He says it in verse 12. I mean verses 12. He said, then he understood how that he bade them to beware of the living, told them not to beware of the living of bread, but of their doctrine. That's the word didache. Of the mode of explaining scripture. Meaning, the Pharisees and the Sadducees explained scriptures wrongly. Their mode of explaining scriptures was wrong. Did you see that? And that is why in John, Jesus will correct them. In John 5, he said, John 5:39, tells them, you search the scriptures and then you think you have eternal life. He said, but these are they that testify of me. I put it there, these are they that conclude of me. Hallelujah! But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. So that means, listen, so that means the number one is, that means their mode of explaining scripture was wrong. And you remember, there's something I don't want to say today, but I'll just give you a glimpse. It's just like the way we call eternal life. You know, we have a great preacher. What is eternal life? Eternal life is called Zoe. Hallelujah! Eternal life is called Zoe. I never said I was a great preacher. I've never taken any side. But you know, yeah, what is Zoe? What is eternal life? Eternal life is Zoe. It's the very life of God. Zoe is the very life of God. No. The word Zoe. Zoe is used for life. Hallelujah! Living. Hallelujah! Even normal. Even someone that is Zoe is used for life. Life of any of anything. I believe. Glory to God. Amen. I got Zoe inside of me. Anyway, it's God's kind of life. Calm down. Calm down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's life. Zoe is just life. Hallelujah. I just want life. So, you know, that means that, number one is that in the Old Testament, when Jesus said, these are they that testify of you, but you will not come to me that you may have eternal life. That shows you that from the Old Testament, they knew what eternal life is. Do you understand? So, eternal life is what they know. And, in fact, there's no, that it shows that even the Pharisees have an idea of what eternal life is. But he said, you will not come to me that you may have this life. Hallelujah. So eternal life is the life of the reign, or is the reign of the Messiah. Do you understand? Hallelujah. So he said, you won't come to me that you may have life. So that becomes, that shows you that their mode of explaining scripture is wrong. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I hope you're following me. So that means we have to carefully pay attention to Jesus' mode of explanation. Because that would be how scriptures are explained. Hallelujah. That would be how scriptures are explained. And that would be the way the apostles too explain scriptures. So how did Jesus explain scriptures? First of all, remember, we have said earlier on that he concludes, or he spoke as one having authority, that is one that scriptures conclude on. Right? Right? So, one. Then, another thing we look at is Luke 24. Luke 24. From verses 25. He met those guys on their way to Emmaus. And here's what he said to them in verse 25. He calls them fools. He calls them fools. Because they couldn't. But yeah, let me not say, go that now. Go that out now. He called them fools. They are fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. They ought not the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory. And say, I'm beginning at Moses. This will be Jesus' didache. He says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I said something to Ross earlier in the year. And I said to Ross that Jesus' diamenio will be his didache. Did you remember that? Right? I say his diamenio will be his didache. How the diamenio will be how he explains scripture. That would be his didache. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you following me? So he says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them. So when he says beginning at Moses, That would be Jesus' mode of teaching. He would start from Moses. Akei Moses. Moses in itself is the beginning of writing the scriptures. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Beginning of Moses and all the prophets. That is, Jesus will start explaining scriptures from Genesis. That is how scriptures are explained. From Genesis. Hallelujah. So that means Jesus' teaching will be found from Genesis down to the prophets, down to Malachi. He will not use up words in it anyhow. No. He will not use words anyhow. Because when he uses the word diamenio, diamenio means he will have to, is the word where you have language, interpreting language. So Jesus will have to interpret the language of the prophet. And in interpreting the language of the prophet, he has to use words the way they use words in their days. Not in Jesus' day, but in the days when the words were written. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I told us, I'm saying it again. Hallelujah. So that means, in Jesus' didactic, you'll find diamonds, right? How he explains scripture. So in explaining scripture, you first of all must sit in the seat of the first audience. You must sit in the seat of the first audience and hear what they heard. Are you hearing me? Hear what they heard. How will you hear what they heard? You must have to sit in their day, in their age. Right, for them, know how words are used in their days. Know how words are written in their days. Know what their culture was. Because their culture will form their vocabulary. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Their culture will form their vocabulary. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hope you're hearing me. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, very important. No, and then you must get yourself acquainted with the social-cultural activities of that day. You'll see many of these as we get to GPL. Hallelujah. You have to get acquainted with what was happening in that day. It will form how they will use words. It will form how they will communicate. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
amen. Amen. So Jesus will not conjure up words. No, he will use words. Or the words he will be using will be explanation from Genesis to the prophet. So when we look at Matthew 28 again, verses 20, where it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That means we'll find the apostles teaching men the same thing Jesus taught. Are you hearing me? They will teach you the same thing Jesus taught. And they will teach with Jesus' mode of teaching. Jesus' didactic. Hallelujah. That is how they will teach. So that means, since we are disciples of the apostles, hallelujah, we too have to teach the same way. Are you following me? We have to teach the same way.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So what this means for us will be that both Jesus and the apostles will be found teaching from the Old Testament books. Hope you know that. Both Jesus and the apostles will be found teaching. They will not be teaching from Matthew's book. They will not be teaching from history. Are you hearing me? They will not be teaching from Atlas. You know what is Atlas? They will not be teaching from Atlas. They will not be teaching from science book or science fiction. No! They will be teaching from scriptures. Hallelujah. So the scriptures will be their textbook. The scriptures will be their diction. Are you hearing me? Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
The scripture, which is Genesis down to Malachi, will be their diction. That is where they will study from. That is where they will teach from. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So let's move a bit. So they will teach from the Old Testament book, and we said something yesterday that the teaching of the apostles will also carry what? Both the Old Testament books and the what? And the four gospels, right? And we looked at Acts 13. We look at Acts 13. How Paul will quote what happened in the four Gospels. But that means we can't take away the relevance of the four Gospels in the preaching of the Gospel. You can't take that away. Hallelujah. If you take that away, all you would have is from the four Gospels and the book of Acts. You just have for Malachi, where he says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse. I now hear, I, Paul. What has happened? You understand? But the four Gospels is important. But though what we call the four Gospels was not written there, but they had it as oral tradition. Hallelujah. Oral tradition is saying that the apostles preached with what they've seen. Are you hearing me? Are you following me? They preached with what they've seen. They told the story of Jesus the right way it should be told. Hallelujah. I hope you're following me. So before it was ever written, it was spoken. It was known by all of them. They taught it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So let's move ahead. So that means the apostles too, they will teach from the Old Testament books and the synoptics, right? Right? But their use of words and their vocabulary will be gotten from the Old Testament books. So that means, as a Bible student, I'm confronted today with a tax. What am I confronted with a tax? What tax is it? The apostles. Now, when scripture was written in Genesis down to Malachi, they were written in Hebrew. Right? In the days of the apostles, they had a language different from Hebrew, which is the Greek and the Aramaic. Are you hearing me? They had a language different from Hebrew. So what they did was to use words in the Hebrew, right? So they and the apostles will go back, as I said, to the original words, right? And explain it in their day, which is in Greek. Hallelujah. Right? And explain it in their day. So they will not use up words in their day to explain what was written in scriptures. No. They will go back to scriptures, get the word, get the concept of words, and use it in their day. Now today, we are confronted with a double tax. What is a double tax? Inasmuch as we found the apostles, the epistles as the explanation of scriptures, right? We too are confronted with the same tax. Because we have to go back to the word of the epistles. Hallelujah. What was their language? Greek, right? Greek, Aramaic, and even Latin. Towards the latter part of the New Testament, Latin began to set in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Latin began to set in. That was towards when John was writing. Was becoming more predominant. So we have that word. We have that word of the Greek. Right? Now, we want to look at those words in that day. We'll look at words in that day and interpret it in our day, right? But looking at words, concept of words in that day, we have to go back to where they were reading from. Hallelujah. So that means we have to go first to the original, right? In the Old Testament book. Look at it, how they explain it in their day. Hallelujah. And then bring it to our world today. So we have double tax. Should I call it double tax? It's the same tax because it is already explained to us, but we have to look at words again. Hallelujah. So that means as a Bible student, I will sit in the seat of the first audience of the apostles, their immediate audience, to sit in their seats. So what are you doing? You are looking at it from where? The Old Testament books, right? The concept of words, usage of words, and then you are translating it. You are seeing how it is explained in their word in the Greek, and then you are picking it from there, and you are explaining it in your world today. Hallelujah. So that means Bible study for a believer is not tea time. It's not bedtime story. No! It's not a time to rush. No, it's diligence. Are you hearing me? It calls for what? Diligence. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Glory to God. I said that the whole lot. Calls for diligence. There's no rush. There's no, I want to do. No. You have to take your time. Hallelujah. You have to take your time. Glory to God. Glory to God. So let's look at a few things. If that be the case, that means today in my word, I have to go back to the concept of words, how they are used. Not how it is used in my word today. Because if you look at how words are used in my word today, I will misread scripture. Are you hearing me? I will misread scripture. I'll read scriptures anyhow. Glory to God. There are people who use their word. What is happening in our world today to explain scriptures? About that, is, you discover that they are making a mess of it.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So, I have to go back.
Go back.
For example, the use of the word serpent. The use of the word serpent.
A second.
Okay, this is the word serpent. In John 3, look at how Jesus used the word serpent. John 3 verse 14.
It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
When you hear, you know someone will say, hey. So, I've heard someone say, as Moses lifted up the serpent. So when Moses, when he gets the numbers, and Moses saw Moses lifting up the serpent, then Moses was showing him Jesus. Jesus would be lifted up. Jesus would die. So Jesus is serpent. Jesus wouldn't have been saying that. That is the wrong explanation of what Jesus is saying. Hallelujah. Are you following me? It's wrong. Because, first things first, Jesus wouldn't be using words contrary to how words were used when they were first written. Are you hearing me? So Jesus' use of water will be the same way Moses will use water. Jesus' use of spirit will be the same way Moses will use spirit. Jesus' use of heaven will be the same way Moses will use heaven. Shamayah and the other word. Are you following me? Will be the same. The moment there is not the same, then that becomes an issue. Because Jesus will use words the same way Moses will use them. Are you following me? Glory to God. So let's go back and see. What was Jesus saying? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because what Jesus was saying, yeah, he knows what he's talking about. Hallelujah. So, first of all, we must understand how is serpents used in scriptures. We have to go back to Moses to see the concept. The concept of the word serpent. Let's get back first of all to Genesis. That's the first time we find the word serpent used. Genesis. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. Okay, Genesis chapter 3. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which the Lord had made. And the Lord said to the woman, And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree in the garden? Do you see? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, thou shalt not eat, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, thou shalt not surely die. Did you see that? And then he had a conversation. Hallelujah. So you know, a lot of people still have that, I said this yesterday, some people still have that mindset when they get to Genesis and they read serpent. What comes to their head is snake. So there's a school of thought of some people which I was once there, but it doesn't really make sense, so I ran away. Hallelujah, I was once there years back, that says there was a time that serpents could speak in history. There was a time serpents could speak, and then serpents used to have legs. Until God caught the serpent the legs and disappeared. No. Hallelujah. Because if you check back history from Genesis down to date, there was never a time the serpent could mutter words.
Are you following me? So there's no way the serpent could have spoken to Eve. There was never a time. The serpent even have hands, have legs. No. Are you following me? So there was never a time the serpent could have spoken. So that automatically, if you take that to someone who understands history, he will floor you. You know? Hallelujah. And what was the blockage in our head? The blockage in our head was that Christian storybook we used to read. Hallelujah. Where there was a garden and a snake young went around the tree. Man came down and said, Eve! Eve! Did God say you should not eat of this tree? And I said, yes! So what still have that thing playing in our head? But what the serpent actually talking? Was there a snake? Was there a snake? Did a snake show? Boom! No. Hallelujah. Moses was using imagery. Moses was using imagery to explain what happened in the garden. Hallelujah. So in using imagery, he will bring in a serpent because of what happened to Eve. Now let's look at something. In those days, when I was there, we look at the concept of words, right? You go back to their world, right? So let's get back to the world of where? Moses. Come on, are you following me now? So let's get to Moses' world. Let's sit in Moses' chair. We have Moses' audience now. Hallelujah. So let's see. Let me show you something. In those days, people and actions of people were described with animals. Are you hearing? People and actions of people were described with animals. Look at Genesis 49. Jacob was to bless his children. Look at what he did. So you describe people and their action with words. I mean with the word, with animals. Are you following me? So let's see. Genesis 49. Are you there? Verses 9. Look at what he says concerning Judah. He says, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thy enemies. Thy father's children shall bow before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. You see that? He calls Judah a lion. You see that? He says, from the prey, my son, thou hast gone up. He stooped down. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion. And as an old lion, he shall rouse him up. You see that? He called Judah a lion. Does it mean that Judah was a lion doing? No. Hallelujah. But he's describing Judah as a lion. Do you see that? Look at verse 17. We go down to Dan. Look at Dan. Look at what he calls Dan. He says, Dan shall be a serpent. This guy shall be a serpent by the way. And other by the in the path that biteth the horse he. So that the rider shall fall backwards, will get back here soon. Hallelujah. Did you see what he calls his son? He calls him a serpent. Actions. Did you see that? Are you following me? So a man, men or people and their actions are described with animals. Look at verse 21. He goes on to speak about Naphtali. 21. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth godly words. Did you see that? Because of the godly words, it is called a hind let loose. Did you see that? In 24, he called Benjamin. 27 rather, he called Benjamin. He shall be a raven. He shall raven as a wolf. In the morning, he shall devour the prey. And at night, he shall divide the spoil. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So animals are used to describe men and their actions. You see that? So when you get back to Genesis 1:26, and it says, 26 into 28, it says, and let us make man in our image, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. It says, have dominion. Hallelujah. Look at 28, and God blessed them. Right? God bless them, and God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the surface of the earth. And you are thinking, God is saying you should be killing animals and eating. You have a problem. Hallelujah. If you think the dominion is going to be killing animals and eating, you have a problem. Because I'm showing you that the dominion there is what evangelism. Right? Come on. Right? The dominion there is, come on, you were around for CFC, right? The dominion there is where? Matthew 28. Make disciples, right? Come on. Hallelujah. Preach the gospel. That's how we have dominion. That is the authority. The word dominion is the word where we have the word authority, right? So the authority is in the preaching of the gospel. So when you now hear the names of animals, he's not saying you should use knife and kill and eat. No. He was describing men. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So the beast of the field, the birds of the air, the fish in the sea are imageries for different kinds of men and their thought pattern. Do you see that? It's used for an imagery for different kinds of men and their thought pattern you meet in the process of evangelism. And he says you should subdue them. How will you subdue them? In the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you sitting in Moses' seat? Are you seeing it? Hallelujah. So that means, remember I told us when we were treating the revelation of God, I said, you have to read Moses together. You have to read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers together to understand what Moses is saying. Hallelujah. So if you are in Genesis 1 and you are reading animals, you have to get down to Genesis 49 to see how animals are used. Hallelujah. They are used to describe man's actions. So when that they have dominion over animals, you know, so you should go and be raising pigs. And we say, hey, you have dominion, you are eating pork meat. So that's how I'm taking dominion. I'm taking dominion. You are taking dominion. And somebody was giving serpent to eat and he ate. And after he described the serpent, he was shouting the whole blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, I have dominion. Let me give you vulture meat. We eat vulture meat. Hallelujah. No. It's not what... Hallelujah. The dominion has nothing to do with animals. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No matter how you are shouting, I have dominion. Let me give you monkey meat to eat. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You eat. If I give you vulture, you say, pastor wants to bewitch me. You forget all the knowledge of the world you have. You see, are you sure, pastor? Hallelujah. Glory to God. But let's move ahead. Hallelujah. So let's go further. So back to the serpent, right? Back to the serpent. So the serpent is an imagery. It's not literal. The serpent in Genesis 3 is imagery, non-literal. Hallelujah. So let's see what the first action of the serpent is. What was his first action? His first action is, what did he say first? And this, look at that verses 1, chapter 3, verse 1. Shall, he said, as God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden. Did you see? His first action was to come against the word of God. Did you see that? To cause you to doubt the word of God. To cause you to doubt the word of God. Hallelujah. So, Moses would describe the serpent as subtle. The serpent was more subtle. That is the word aurum. Aurum. A-W-R-U-M. M. A-W-R-U-W-M. Sorry. A-W-R-U-W-M. In the Hebrew, aurum is the word that implies cunning. Cunning. To be cunning. What's more cunning? You find that word in 1 Samuel 23:22. A shade of that word in 1 Samuel 23:22. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Cunning. Glory, hallelujah. Look at verses 13. He said, and the Lord said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. and I did eat. The serpent beguiled me. Let's look at that word beguile. We are looking at the actions of the serpent. Beguile. That word beguile is from the Hebrew word nashah. N-A-S-H-A, nashah. It's a word that means to delude, to deceive, to deceive. So, the serpent is an imagery for deceit. That which causes unbelief. That which stands in opposition to the word. Do you see that? Are you following me? Is an imagery for that. Go with the Lord. Are you following me? Amen. So let's look at that Genesis 49, where he describes Dan as a serpent. Look at what he calls Dan. Verse 17. I mean verse 7. Genesis 49, 7. Look at what he calls Dan. He says to Dan, he says 17. It says, Dan shall be the serpent by the way, and adder in the path that biteth the horse heel, that the rider shall fall backward. Did you see that? Subtly. The rider didn't know. Let me put it this way. Just permit my literal whatever. The rider didn't know. The rider is on the horse and then the serpent strikes and this rider falls. So it's subtly. Cunning. That's it. Hallelujah. So the concept of the use of the word serpent is for one who beguiles and make others fall subtly. It beguiles and makes others fall subtly. Hallelujah. That which makes others fall subtly. In Numbers chapter 21. Numbers 21. Look at verse 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpent among the people. I've told you here that the Lord sent. It's not God that sent. Right? Right? So we get the message on. We'll have that teaching again next year. I mean, yeah. Okay. We have it this year. So we'll have it next 2 years, maybe January 2023. Hallelujah. No rush. Hallelujah. Abi? No rush. Amen. Go with God. The revelation of God. But we said that is not God's action, right? That's not God's action. So it's now when he said, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they beat the people, and much people of Israel died. Did you see that? Much people of Israel died. Now, that what has happened there in verse 6 is an epidemic. An epidemic. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Many people died. Because of they had things and then people were dying. Listen. Then verse 7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So, there was a pointer towards unbelief, right? To dishonor, right? In verse 7. So, look at verses 8, yes. And what happened? The Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is beaten, when he look upon it, shall live. Hallelujah. So Moses will put put the serpent on the pole, right? So to put on the pole in their day, in their world. Let's go back to their day and their world. When you set things like that on the pole, it's used for what? Punishment, judgment. So what Moses has done to put the serpent on the pole is to tell you there will be judgment against the serpent. Are you following me? It's to show what? Judgment against the serpent. There will be judgment for the serpent. That is, he's telling you that deceit will be destroyed or will be judged. Hallelujah. Deceit will be judged. So when they look to see, they were not looking to see healing. No. Are you following me? They were looking to see that what? The serpent will be destroyed. Hallelujah. The serpent will be destroyed. Judgment will be passed on the serpent. And as many as looked and believed that the serpent will be destroyed, were healed. So the healing was not from the serpent. No. Hallelujah. The healing was from God, but the looking to the serpent is to see that the serpent will be judged. Hope you are following me. That's what Jesus is saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're coming there soon. Hallelujah. So let's see something. In Psalm 58, from verse 1 to 4. Let's go down to Psalm 58 quickly. Psalm 58. It says, do ye indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do ye judge uprightly, O sons of men? Yea, in the heat. I mean, yea, in the heart, ye walk wickedness. Ye weigh the violence of your hand in the earth. Say, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth our ear. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So it's used for wicked ones. Serpent is used for what? Wickedness. Hallelujah. The action of wickedness. In Isaiah 27 verse 1. Look at Isaiah 27. Isaiah 27 verse 1. It says, in that day, the Lord with his sword and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. I remember years back, I was praying somewhere, and people were there. So theologians, some people were there, and I was going, I wouldn't call them theologians, they went to theology school. They went to Bible school, they were not theologians. No, they're not the same. They went to theology school and a theologian, they're not the same. Hallelujah. You can go to theology school and come out and you'll be... Jonathan. And I'll say, you demon. I speak to you living. I can't call it a living time. I speak to you in the name of Jesus. And when I was up, I don't give you a you know the word. So what is Leviathan? How did you get that? How did you get the revelation to the name? Hallelujah. See, that is a deep secret. That is Satan's name. Don't read the Bible. Hallelujah. That is Satan's name, Leviathan. Nonsense and ingredients. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, the people, they are praying, they are showing that they know, oh, I speak to you, Leviathan. When you are in your coven, Leviathan. It's just ignorance gone on rampage. Hallelujah. In history, Leviathan, is not, some people say that is name for serpent. In fact, some people tell you he's a dreaded dragon, he's a sea dragon, or a sea serpent that is called Leviathan. It's too much, let me not call it too much cartoon that is worrying some people. Hallelujah. But if you go back in history, not history in the days of Isaiah, history you go back in history to the Greek, to the time of the Greek captivity, that was before Jesus, they believed that Leviathan is a name of a sea dragon. Do you understand me? Sea serpent that has multiple heads. But actually, it was a belief in their world. Are you following me? But there's nothing like that. I hope you are following me. But actually, when Isaiah writes, they call possessive leaders.
Let me use the word possessive. Okay, no, let me use another word.
Tyrant leaders, tyrant lords were called Leviathan.
Do you understand me?
Like Nebuchadnezzar, like Herod, they were called Leviathan because of their stiff-necked concerning the children of Israel. Right? For their wicked acts towards the children of Israel. So they were called Leviathan.
Hope you are following me.
Hallelujah. So when Isaiah is talking about Leviathan here, he was referring to a person.
I was not referring to any sea demon. No.
He was referring to a person. And he was speaking concerning the deliverance of Israel from captivity.
Hope you are following me.
Hallelujah. So he called the tyrant leader, he calls a person, right? He calls the government, he calls it Leviathan, the crooked serpent. You see that? So the serpent is used for who? A person. An action. The same way I told us yesterday that the word Satan is not a name for the devil alone. Do you know what that means? It's the same way, so I use the word Christ. The word Christ, it's not the name Jesus was called when he was born. No, it's a name that is conferred on him based on his work in redemption. Hallelujah. So he's called the Christ. Hallelujah. The Christ will mean the Messiah, right? The anointed one. Were there anointed ones before then? Yes. But he is the anointed one. I call him based on what his accomplishment in redemption. Hallelujah. The same way too, the name Satan, Satanos, is a name conferred based on one's action. So the devil, being called Satan, is called Satan because of his action, his opposition towards the gospel, his opposition towards God's children, God's word. Are you following me? Hallelujah. In fact, at some point, individuals were called Satan in scriptures. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A persecutor, one who persecutes another person is called Satanos. That act of standing against someone is called Satanos. In fact, even God was called Satan because of his action. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We saw even in 1 Corinthians when Paul said, give that one, deliver that one to Satan. He's not saying, take that person and go to hellfire. Say, Satan, I hand over Sister Enum to your hands. Help me take care of her. No! That's not what he's saying. He's saying that when you use the word Satanos, it means that rebuke is called Satan. It's called Satan. Deliver to Satan. So deliver to rebuke. Deliver to opposition. So when I oppose you, and I say, don't try it again, that action of man is called Satanos. Opposition. Do you understand me? Glory to God. So next time you hear Satanos, read in context. Understand in context. Why Satanos? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hope you are following me. Don't worry, we'll get here a bit next week. We'll get to look at that from scriptures again next week, Sunday. After believer's conversion, we'll be here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Believer's conversion will be done in the morning. We'll be here. God's service. Amen. Glory to God. So we'll continue. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, you want to hear amen? Okay. Let's continue.
Oh, you are clear on what I've said. I hope you are clear on what I've said.
Okay. Especially as regards Satanos. Okay, let's move a bit. So let's see how Jesus used the word Satan before we get to John. Look at Matthew 7. Matthew 7. I am Matthew 7, verse 10. It says, okay, verse 9. Or what man is there of you whom his son asks for bread and he gives him stone? Bread is good, stone is wrong, right? Right? Or ask for fish and they will give him a serpent. They eat them being evil. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Do you understand me? So that means serpent, he didn't use serpent for a good gift. Hallelujah. You serpent for an evil gift. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
For a wrong gift. So Jesus would never use serpent for what is good. No. Because in the concept of writing, right? In scripture, serpent was never used for anything good. It was an imagery for deceit, unbelief, right? That would make one to stumble. Are you following me? So if I now get to 2 Corinthians 11, look at how Paul would now put, Paul is now explaining, listen, Paul is about to explain Genesis 1:3 for you. Now you see that there was no serpent on any tree. I wonder how the serpent got to a tree. Why wasn't the serpent on a stone? Why tree? You've not thought of that, right? Why tree? Genesis. You know the story here. Why tree? And you now see round about is everywhere is tree. It's too much storybook. Storybook. Eh? What? You know it, right? Storybook. Storybook. I mean super book, sorry. Super book. You know those people that didn't go to Sunday school, watching super book at home, come to church late. Hallelujah. Okay, 2 Corinthians, are you there? Let's see how Paul will explain that. Now, we've seen the concept of words, right? Right? We've seen how words are used in Genesis, right? Like I told you, the epistles are explanations, right? But we'll have to go back, look at how it is used, see the explanations, right? And then interpret it in our world today, right? So that tomorrow when you see a snake, you just go ahead and kill the snake if you want to kill the snake. Stop shouting, Holy Ghost fire. Have you thought about the snake is coming your way? Holy Ghost fire. Hey, where they are gathered, they come against me and my family. Oh God, kill them by fire now. Hallelujah. You want to kill, you kill. You want to kill, allow the snake to go. Hallelujah. Amen. You cannot see snake and be calling you fire. Some people will see cat. Cat. You don't get to cat. I will just say, why are they gathered against me? On the left and on the right. I thought I would not see cat in the night. And I don't see their night vision. That thing that made their eyes shine, he's not hellfire, he's not demon, he's not Satan. He's night vision. A cat has it. Those, in fact, animals that belong to the cat family, like tiger, lion, they have night vision. That's what made them see at night clearly. Eh? Some people, it's better they just, with the way they behave, they should just go and return, go back to school and collect their school fees. Collect all the school fees they've been paying. Because there's no impact. Hallelujah. Can you tell me, you went to Novena University and you came out and you are calling cat demon. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not possible. Hallelujah.
Go with God.
Eh?
You want this?
Ooh.
They keep the life.
Okay, the one thing they keep the life. Okay. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11. 11, are you there? Okay, from verse 1. I would to God. Okay, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to another husband. For I have espoused you to another husband that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. Now say, see, verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is found in Christ. Did you see that? So look at verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with him Did you see that? Hallelujah. So he calls, look at what he calls serpent. He brings him, what Paul has done was, he brings him what happened to Eve, right? And he calls it false doctrine. That's what he says, plainly, false doctrine. He says, false doctrine beguiles, like the word serpent. So that means, what Paul is showing you is that Genesis 1:3 will be false doctrine. Are you seeing that? Come on, go back to your scriptures. Look at Genesis, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I mean, 2 Corinthians 11 again, verse 3. By fear, lived by enemies, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is found in Christ. False doctrine. You see that? Hallelujah. So, he takes your mind back to Genesis 1:3. Now, what has Paul shown you? First of all, we have settled the fact that the serpent in Genesis 1:3 is not literal, right? It's an imagery. So, he's now taking you back again. Now, when you get here and you are reading subtlety, and reading what Paul is saying, he expects that because he's talking to his audience, and his audience are already aware that what animals are used to represent human actions. Do you understand me? So that's what we've done. So now we are back to Genesis 1, and Paul is telling you what happened to Eve. It's false doctrine. A deception from God's truth, the simplicity of the message. Hallelujah. So that means the tree is an imagery. Hallelujah. The tree is an imagery. The serpent is an imagery. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Are you following me? So what the serpent has done is what? Deception from where? Deception from the simplicity of the message of God. Are you following me? The message. So the tree will be what? Remember I told you the tree. We've looked at that. Let me not start going back to tree. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we get back to John 3 verse 14, and Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent, so the Son of Man will be lifted up. Right? Right?
Yes, sir.
What Jesus is saying is that in his death, the works of Satan will be destroyed. He's not saying he's going to be, he's not comparing himself with Satan, or I mean with what Moses did, or the serpent. No, he's saying, as the Son of Man is lifted up, so you would see that in his death, the serpent and his works are dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you following me? Glory to God. Meaning on the cross, he would destroy the works of the serpent. Are you following me? So, did you see this? So this would be the same mindset so we can as we get to talk about tongues and interpretation of tongues. So when it comes to speaking with tongues, one must be grounded also. Hallelujah. One must be grounded. One must be grounded. Before we get talking about tongues, you know, the same way we look at serpents. So you get to seed. So when you hear seed today, what comes to your mind is money. And yet, see, money comes to mind. But was that what scripture calls seed? No. So when Jesus uses the word seed, he's not talking about money. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When Jesus uses the word seed, we'll be going back again. We have to go back again to read from Genesis. How is the word seed used? You'll be surprised that seed is used for a person. Is this for a nation? Is this for a people? Are you following me? So we must read words in their concepts, right? How they are used in scriptures. Hallelujah. The same way to hear the word speaking in tongues, we must also know what is the concept of the word tongues. Hope you are following me. What is the concept of the word tongues? Sometimes, or if I'm not just sometimes, many times, it amazes me how people talk about tongues. I was chatting with someone one day, and she told me that she had started speaking in tongues. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. You're speaking in tongues. I like that. That's a good news. And I said, you know, when we speak in tongues, Satan is confused. I said, why are you bringing Satan into it? Jonathan said, no. Mas, you know your doctrine is different from my doctrine. Can you see nonsense? So you know your doctrine is different from my doctrine. My own doctrine will believe when we speak in tongues. Satan is confused. That is the wrong reason why you should speak in tongues. Are you hearing me? One ought to be grounded. I hope you are hearing me. Amen. If you even want to speak in tongues so that Satan will not know what your prayer point is in English, then you are telling me. Say, I just speak in tongues. Satan will not know what I'm praying about. Oh, my people, I know what I'm praying for. Satan doesn't know. You are nowhere. Hallelujah. So I have to understand what the concept of tongues is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some other people will tell you tongues is somebody else's language. To speak in tongues means you are speaking another person's language. No. That is wrong. Hallelujah. I have to go back again to see how is tongues taught all through scriptures. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you following me? I stop. Tongues taught in scriptures. Some other people will tell you, I cannot speak in tongues until the Spirit moves my mouth. We'll get there. Some people will tell you, I'll pray in tongues, I'll pray in English until I enter Spirit. Before I will not speak in tongues. I remember when I was about being done with, I was done with SS3. I was already done with school. I guess I was one of those times I usually go back to Air Force Secondary School to teach. So there was a set that passed out, they were done with their work. So this lady now visited me in the house. Her reason for visiting me, I don't know. But she visited me. And I was alone at home. So we began studying. When you have taught. When I was done teaching her, and I told her I was going to pray in tongues. Jonathan, I said, do you believe in tongues? Yes. She, and I said, did you pray in tongues? She said, yes, she prays in tongues. And I was like, perfect. Because I guess that day, Sunday was not around, and because we usually pray when everybody goes out. Like I had a perfect. In my head, I was like, I found someone I'm going to pray with today. Hallelujah. I said, let's pray. So I just set out in tongues. Mam tapa, talaba dadebi. I was looking at her, she was speaking English. I said, what is this? I thought, like, what is this? Why are you speaking English? I was like, no. That she has not entered into the Spirit. The way she entered the Spirit, she said, I told her, what nonsense is that? Do you understand? Oh yeah, here are your money. Well, hallelujah. So I asked her, straight. What nonsense are you talking about? He said, no. That she speaks in tongues, but you have to enter two instead. All the strength I wanted to use to pray just went off. And I know what. Come on, we're going home. Because I talked that day. I talked. I said, see, no. You know, I need everything to talk. I said, you know what? Eh? I was speaking English. I said, it's better. Your brain is open. Eh? And everything inside your brain should be taken away and only coconut water should be poured inside. Because nothing is entering. What is all this? I said, all this beer, I said, please come and go in. They will stay there welcome. So I need to pray. It's not this nonsense. I'll be praying, we'll be praying English. What do you think I'm here to pray for? Hallelujah. So some people have that notion. While some other people are the extreme, they will tell you they are waiting for Holy Ghost to move them. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, what they need to do. Baby, your feet. They are waiting for the move. So look at everybody, they are waiting for when they are now praying. And fresh air and breath. Is it anymore? No. Hallelujah.
Some people have wrong notions of God. I know as you go up in evangelism,
you meet this kind of doctrine around. Are you hearing me?
As you go up in evangelism, and you meet people, I want to
get you filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, there you are.
But I heard someone told me that it's too quick.
Ah,
I said, quick how? I'm your teacher. He said, no, sir. Because he is in deeper life, you know, where you have to go through the second work, sanctification, or not yet sanctified. So, you know, I just let him start. I said, man, I want to lay hands on you. So he said, energy. Don't you think it's too fast? I said, fast how? He said, no, sir. You know, I laid hands on him. The guy spoke in tongues. After some minutes, he came by and said, sir, I'm doubting this tongue so
Ah, if it is like women, he has some things you will see, you will hear.
Hallelujah.
And if you yourself, as the disciple, like you are not grounded, you begin to think, this is saying this tongue is not.
Someone has come to meet me before. I don't need to listen to this person's tongue very well, sir. He's not speaking the tongues of God. He's speaking demonic tongues. I say,
And in our midst, so the person came to me after meeting.
He said, hey, sir, listen to this person's tongue very well. I guess the person is speaking demonic tongues. I say, hey. Even me as a pastor, I don't have that detector.
Is there anything in scripture called demonic tongues?
Do you understand?
So you as a pastor, you as a disciple, you as a cell leader, you have a lot of work because you as you go up to evangelize and lay hands on people, you meet such kind of doctrines.
But you know what? If you are not grounded to explain well, you discover that you don't even have an answer for it. And that's why we are teaching. Hallelujah. That's why I'm teaching you. So that you will know. This is tongues from the scriptures. That as you as you meet this set of people, you will teach them. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So some people have such kind of notion. They'll tell you, I cannot speak in tongues now. You say, why? You say, because I only know Yoruba. And when you hear speaking in tongues, means I'll be speaking like Portuguese, Chinese. Sure, all right. They tell you are in international relations here. Hallelujah. No. Amen. It's not international relations. It's gospel, spiritual. Amen. So we're going to look at all that in scriptures.
Hallelujah.
So we're going to go into and get into it in details from next week. Hallelujah. So, but deal with this firstly. Tongues has nothing to do with the devil. Tongues has nothing to do with the devil.
Are you hearing me? It's got nothing to do with the devil.
It is not written or taught anywhere in scripture that Satan has got anything to do with tongues. No.
Are you hearing me?
Settle it in your mind. It's got nothing to do with the devil.
You speak in tongues, Satan is not you, forever and ever. Amen, 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 amen. We bind the devil using God's power. In this place, we speak in tongues, so you say Satan is confused.
Stop them down. Hallelujah. Rather, in Mark 16, verse 15, the first time in the four Gospels and in the New Testament section of the Bible, we find out what use tongues. Mark 16. You know, some other people, you might meet some other people that will tell you Mark 16 from verses 8 down to the end does not exist in the original manuscript. Those are high-level demons. You must learn to deal with them well. Hallelujah. I call them high-level demons. Some people are atheists. They'll tell you that tongues you are speaking is nonsense. Because the very point you point to in Mark 16 was not written in the original. It was actually an addendum. It was added. They will tell you Mark didn't write it. And they are not telling you a lie. That's the truth. Mark didn't write it. Remember. But just like other parts of the scriptures, just like in Deuteronomy, where you find and Moses died. Was it Moses that was writing Moses died? Where was he when he wrote that Moses died? This is that. So there's something called in literature where someone else has the capacity to complete your write-up. Do you understand me? So it was believed that Joshua completed Moses' write-up in Deuteronomy, the latter part. Are you following me? So Moses wouldn't have written and Moses died. That would be super supernatural. Right? Hallelujah. So somebody had to complete it for Moses. And who was the person? Joshua. The same way, to someone had to complete Mark's writer, because it was believed when Mark was writing, there was actually the church was in persecution. So it was believed that when Mark wrote to a certain point, he ran away for his life. Do you know that? Because they were persecuting him, so he gathered. So someone picked his material, what he has written, and completed it. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But something else to look at in Mark 16, verse 16, says, and this sign shall follow, verse 17, shall follow them that believe in my name, they will cast out devils. Another point you look at it from is, if those things said, because the closing remarks of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John will form the basis of the book of Acts and the epistle. So if those things written in the latter part of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John are not found in the book of Acts and the epistles, then they are wrong. Are you hearing me? So he said they will cast out demons. Did we see them cast out demons in the book of Acts?
No.
Did we see them? So that means we are confirming it, right? Come on, we have a collaboration, right? In the book of Acts. Glory to God. Did we see them speak in new tongues? Did you see them speak in new tongues in the book of Acts? Acts 2, right? Acts 8. Glory to God. Acts 10. Glory to God. The house of Cornelius, right? Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Acts 19, he spoke in tongues. So that means tongues was part of the instruction Jesus gave them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that means Mark 16 from verses 8 to verses 20 are valid. Glory to God. Are you hearing me? So I'm helping you now. So you should begin to go after evangelism. And you need such kind of strange demons. Don't just say a human being that is talking. They are strange demons. So you have answers. Strange demons who want to throw your banner when you are teaching the word. When you are preaching, but you have answers. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So in Mark 16, right? We have speaking in tongues as the sign, the character of the believer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the first time we find that in the four gospels, Satan wasn't mentioned. It was a sign of the believing ones. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And in the book of Acts, we find them speaking in tongues. So in conclusion, as we go, tongues is essential for the believer's life. Yeah. Jesus said these are the signs of the believing ones. They will speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Signs of the believing ones. So we will get to see from next week. We'll see how it is taught from the 39 books. We'll just kick only the pilot text alone. Hallelujah. We'll look at it from the pilot text and then read it down into the words of Jesus, into the words of the epistles. Hallelujah. And see again, look at it again. Why tongues? The importance of tongues and interpretation. The rocks as believers. The rocks when we gather together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Have you learned something today? Because you come to someone and share with the person what you learned. Come to someone and share what you learned today.